When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
250 episodes is pretty epic. So today we are covering one of our favorite cities. Whether you are a history buff, a foodie, an architecture lover, or a beach bum, Charleston, South Carolina is sure to keep you intrigued. Join us at the table to hear more about this coastal gem.
Welcome to the Steel Magnolias Podcast. We are two sisters here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
The South is full of beautiful diversity in landscape, people groups, and culture, and we want to showcase each part. We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up your chair.
Welcome back to the table. I'm Laura Beth.
I'm Lainey.
And this is the 250th episode. Whoop, whoop. We have literally greeted y'all 250 times and welcomed you to our table. So I hope you've sat down and learned something by now. It really is hard to believe, though, that we've done that many episodes. And it's just, I mean, it's so fun. Like, it's been so rich and I've learned so much. So I was saying that as if the listeners should have learned something, but I mean, I've learned so
much.
Don't
you feel so schooled on our region?
Schooled.
And like, I look at magazines and I'm like, I already know that. Oh yeah, I already know that. Uh-huh. But I also look at books and stuff and I'm like, really?
Yeah, I know. Like, ooh, that gives me a better, fuller picture of why that is the way it is.
Yeah. Or, still could dive into that a little more. So it's kind of a never ending exploration project, mm-hmm. but I'm proud of us.
Well, when you started out and said, I mean, Charleston's epic, so it really did feel like this is the right
thing for 250.
I mean,
like,
Charleston,
you can't just talk about like pimento cheese again.
No, we couldn't. No, there was,
though I bet there's lots of good pimento cheese in Charleston.
If there was a city, then this takes the cake. But we were thinking about even any topic. This has been on the cover of so many magazines. This is quintessential American South. So, in good ways and bad ways.
Yes.
I want to get the sad history out of the way, just because we're going to be praising Charleston so much in this episode. I won't dwell on it, but I think that you do need to just acknowledge that it came from a hard place. I mean, I think a lot of people know that it was the start of the Civil War. Like,
first,
the shots,
first shots were there.
It was founded in 1670, so old.
Which, I mean, it even has Revolutionary War stories as well. So
yeah.
If you're a history buff, lots to see here.
Yeah. But the sad history is that 40% of the slaves that came through the U.S. came through Charleston.
That
port area, because it is just right there on the coast. And so I think you have to say that up front, because you see that.
Oh, it's a big part of
the culture. It's part of the food. It's part of the produce. It's part of just
everything.
So I just wanted to say that up front and just make sure that, you know, we're acknowledging the past too. But I really feel like Charleston is so much to so many people. Like, on the most simplest level, it's coastal and city in one. Like, it's, you know,
very true.
But I mean, I really feel like it's like a true melting pot of culture and people, and it's just interesting.
Well, so. And I would just say it even still has some of the beautiful people that came because of bad reasons.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, yeah. Because of slavery that we all acknowledge was wrong, there's some of these beautiful West African people who are still there.
Yeah.
And have shaped so much of Southern culture in general.
Yeah.
So we'll get to more specifics
for
on that,
sure.
Anyway.
Well, Charleston is nicknamed the Holy City. And you all know that we are people of sisters of faith here. And we are Christ followers.
Prayer. Yeah.
And I think one of the coolest things that Charleston has ever done is to state a citywide code that lists that no building in their downtown area can be higher than the steeples. You see church steeples that just pop up on the skyline. And the reason you still see that, and it's unique looking, is because of this city code that states you can't build higher than that. Now, back in the day, that's how you found the church.
That's right.
Right?
No, like, matter where you were, in Europe or
yeah.
Asia or wherever you were, I guess that was kind of the point of having a steeple was
right.
We want to draw people to this place.
To this place. So it's just really pretty to some of my most favorite pictures I've taken in Charleston are of that sort of vantage point, looking up and seeing a steeple and a pretty sky. And I've been 15 plus times, y'all.
Yeah,
so I'm
you've
drawn
been a lot more times than I have.
But I had two good friends from college that decided to make that their home. And so I did get to have some fun and experience the city multiple times just with visiting them. So it's a wide area. So, I mean, I still have a lot of areas to explore. Like when we say Charleston, we're talking about James Island and Folly Beach, John's Island, Sullivan's Island, Kiowa Island, Seabrook Island. I mean, even Mount Pleasant gets looped into Charleston. So
yeah, Isle of Palms, all of that. Yeah,
it's a big area.
And you could spend a week in each little nook
you could.
Of that.
You could.
But because Charleston was founded in 1670, it has many of America's first, and I don't have to give all the dates, but first public library, first museum, first passenger train service.
Wow.
That's first crazy. Chamber of Commerce. Like, that's pretty cool. First theater, the Dock Street Theater. That's
yeah.
Who gets to say that?
That's
pretty awesome.
Crazy. Wow. Well, we did an episode a while back, and we just already touched on this a little bit, about Gullah Geechee, which Gullah is the name of the people group that came from Angola, West Africa, and many still live there today. Many residents of the Charleston area are Gullah people.
And they have a language all their own.
Right.
But yeah, they've shaped so much of the foodways, particularly of the South,
mm-hmm.
that you should definitely check out that episode to hear more specifics on that people group.
Yeah, we got to meet a gal by the name of Lynette White. She formed and leads a group called the Plantation Singers, and their purpose is to educate through songs about Gullah culture and people. So they go into schools and do events around town and just use song to share their history and their story. And some of them are very familiar songs that you would recognize, and some of them are not. But it's very, very beautiful to hear. And one of the things that she was talking to us about when we met her was just the importance of Carolina Gold Rice, right? So can I go ahead and jump into some of that?
Yeah.
So Carolina Gold Rice is the main crop that made owners rich, that owned properties, owned slaves, and it's still one of the major components of dishes in this low country cuisine that you hear people talk about from Charleston and South Carolina. And gosh, it's good, isn't it?
It's so good. I have some in my freezer right now. Yes, in my freezer, because that helps keep it fresher. So that's where
I love
keep it.
That.
But, that I highly recommend. I don't know. We'll probably talk about specific restaurants later.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend not just doing the King Street fancy spots, but digging out some more authentic. And I'll give you a couple.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump into some if you want.
A couple of authentic spots to try some low country cuisine. So I'm going to start, if you want to do food now, with Hannibal's.
Yes. Hannibal's Soul Kitchen.
That place is the real deal as mm-hmm. far as, you know, it's not Michelin starred, but it is the real deal as far as trying some low country crab rice or okra soup, that kind of food that was so epic in the Gullah culture.
And just casual. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
we saw lots of local utility workers and that
that's what you have always said. You know where you know a good restaurant is where the men, the coming on their lunch hour, men and women, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, just where they're going, it's they know where to go.
The hard laborers coming in for the day, especially where they choosing to eat. Yes, Hannibal's was so good. We got to eat there together. There is, gosh, there's so many. I want to just, I'm not going to go in any particular order if we talk about food. Do you want to talk about, just keep going in the food vein? Because the food ways...
It's they such a big part the of the culture. So, yeah, let's just keep going.
I've never eaten
as much or as eaten, good.
ever eaten as well in a city as I have in Charleston. On like, each trip.
I was going to say, and it's kind of like, it doesn't matter if you want French, Vietnamese, yeah. Southern, low yeah. country. It's all going to be good.
Yeah. I'll start with just some seafood spots because I think that's a lot of what people think of when they think of coastal towns.
Yeah.
There are a lot of tourist seafood places downtown. And if that's your vibe, then you could just Google that.
Yeah,
because I don't want to talk down on any of those because they're good, but they're just very touristy. The one I want to recommend is out at Folly Beach where you and I went, right? Bowen's yeah. Island at Folly Beach. Go at sunset.
Ugh. Yes.
People will be coming in from their day of paddleboarding or kayaking. And if you want to go stand up paddleboarding or
do that kayaking, too.
Get there earlier and go ahead and do that too. But very casual, you know, just out in the open. I mean, there is some indoor area, but you can just sit over this like marshland almost like yep. area.
Watch that sunset and fishermen coming in. Just, yeah, it's beautiful.
It was so beautiful. It's, I mean, that's kind of one of those places where you're like, I could live here, uh-huh. right? Like yeah. you're getting Faux a show. Taste of the local life. Yes.
I'm going to recommend that you try the low country boil or yes. oysters yes. or something, you know, that
shrimp and grits
is something that's very, mm-hmm. Charleston-ish.
Yeah. crab too. She crab soup would be.
She crab soup. One of the places that's known for their she crab soup is 82 Queen, which that's the address. 82 Queen. Yes. So that's easy. Little pretty little courtyard area there. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good place if you want to try that. But man, that stuff's good. I've tried to make it and did okay, but I haven't quite mastered that just yet.
Yeah.
You got to have that crab roe, which yes. is the eggs, and that's not always easy to get. So,
Like I said, I'm just going to jump around with some restaurants that I love. These are in no particular order. I love a place that's downtown called Fast and French. It's one of my favorites for some memories that I have made there.
That and matters too.
I think it's one of those places, though.
It's super casual.
Super casual. I think it is set up for memory making. Like, it's set up for community. It's got long tables that oftentimes you end up sharing, with other parties. They don't seat you there. I think it's all, depending on what hour of day you're going, I think it's self-seating. But just a great place to either have brunch or dinner. Their hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. So you could have very different unusual. Experiences depending on what day. But it's a great place to meet friends. Yeah, like I said, I just love the vibe and I have great memories there.
Now, we mentioned 82 Queen for She Crab Soup. I'm going to go up the street a little to 62 Queen, okay. which is not the name of the restaurant. But Harkin, do you remember that adorable coffee shop?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that place.
So it's just right down from, like, they're on the same street.
I forgot about that place.
I loved that coffee shop. And they had, you know, breakfast sandwiches, pastries, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. But it was so just adorable place to sit. Lots
so
of
true.
Plants. And
you'll take a lot of photographs there of your coffee and your friends and you, or selfies. Yeah.
So
yeah.
cute.
You'll take
and the coffee's really good, too. It yeah. wasn't just
yeah.
that the atmosphere was adorable.
That makes me think of a place that I've failed to mention because I haven't been there, but I've heard so many things that are good. Raw, is that what it's called? Raw.
Oh, the Oyster Bar.
Yeah,
I think it's 167 Raw or something like that. 167
Raw. Okay. Look in our show notes, and I'll have the right name and info.
Yeah, that's a big oyster spot.
Yes. Yes.
And we've never been to Fig. I tried.
I just wrote down Fig. I know. I've tried to.
But it's one of Charleston's, you know, biggest, and it's, at this point, we can say long-lasting, because it's been around for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But Jason Stanhope is a James Beard Award winner. He's from South America, and he brings a French technique to Southern cuisine. So, you know, that's going to be creative.
Yeah.
So, he does a lot of the... shrimp, squid, mussels, things like that with Carolina gold rice. And mm-hmm. so if you can get a reservation, you got to have one.
Right. You have to have one.
Yeah.
And anybody that you, well, not anybody, but most people that live there, if they're, you know, are needing a, if you're needing a fine dining recommendation, that's their pick. Is it's just such a great staple. So yeah. It's hard to say anything bad about Fig.
I say we got to go with the epic meal we had at Hall's Chop House.
Okay, next. Let's jump in. Yes.
So Hall's Chop House is, so no matter what day of the week you go, if you want a good steak or a good seafood meal, mm-hmm. they're not going to let you down.
No.
I just saw that, total side note, but yesterday they served up the ESPN people with like tomahawk steaks.
Oh, are you serious?
So anyway, but Hall's is, you know, very legit steakhouse. But on Sundays, they have Sunday brunch.
Gospel brunch.
With the Plantation Singers.
Yes.
We mentioned do the gullah singing, and they do a beautiful job.
Yeah, I mean, they set up right there in the lobby, and...
you're going to have some church and some good food all in one. Yes. Again, reservations are needed, but that's an epic experience.
My notes literally say, fine dining while the Plantation Singers take you to church.
Yeah. I may or may not have sung with them as well.
That's right. You did. That was such a sweet moment. Hall's is under the same ownership as a couple of other places slightly north of Broad.
Is that the same?
And High Cotton and
which
Rita.
Which I've been to both.
And Rita's. Yeah, all of those are kind of under the same hospitality group.
I forgot that was the same group. Had a wonderful experience with our mom at High Cotton on a Sunday brunch. They did like a jazz brunch.
Okay.
So.
And Hall's has expanded a lot. We've got a Hall's Chop House here in Nashville now. I think there might be one in Greenville, South Carolina. So, but Charleston is their original location.
Well, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. There's a place out on Sullivan's Island that I want to mention called Obstinate Daughter.
Yes.
It's super eclectic.
Mentioned a lot in foodie circles.
Yes. French, Italian, and Spanish cuisine. The menu changes seasonally, and they source food so locally. So I like to know that, and I like to tell people that, because if you don't know anybody that's living in Charleston, you could just like pretend like you're going to a friend's house for dinner and that they shopped at the farmer's market. So you're basically having dinner at a local's house. But it does, I mean, it gets listed on a lot of foodie sorts of lists and
yes,
things.
It does.
It's very, very good.
Well, I had a pretty memorable meal with you at Pink Belly's.
Oh, my goodness.
So this was recommended to us by a chef.
Well, that's usually a good person to ask, right?
I mean, it wowed me like no other.
Me too.
Maybe we were ready for something different, too, because we had had a lot of rice. We'd had a lot of seafood. It's like, okay.
Could be.
It was our last meal before we were going home.
So maybe that's a good strategy. Maybe put this towards the end of your time if you're visiting.
Just to change it up. Mm-hmm. But it is delicious Vietnamese food. The garlic noodles, I will probably never forget. With the Parmesan and Sriracha.
And it had pulled pork on it as well.
So delicious.
And so much flavor. When the chef that recommended this said, just try the garlic noodles.
Were you kind of like, garlic noodles?
I kind of want something a little more pizzazz than that. Oh, it had pizzazz for sure. And this is a food truck turned brick and mortar. So I always love those stories too. That like, you know, they were grinding away and made it well enough to where the people spoke, right?
That's right.
And they're like, we
need more.
Yeah.
Well, I also had a cocktail there that was a pho cocktail.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Which sounds kind of weird, mm-hmm. but it was delicious. It was with gin, and it had fish sauce and very flavorful. I don't know how to describe it, but this guy's got it going on.
It's just one of those places where you have to trust us.
Yep.
Just trust us. You're going to love what you order
at
Pink Belly's.
And the Pug Cocktail is like their most popular, so yeah. I thought we can't be bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
That's
it was great.
So true. So good. We should also mention Rodney Scott's Barbecue,
the original.
Rodney Scott has mastered the whole hog. He started barbecuing at age 11. And
amazing.
Has several locations now, not just in South Carolina, but in other states.
But he's from close to Charleston.
Yeah.
So that's his hometown.
He calls that
his home.
Yeah.
Hemingway is where he's from.
Okay.
But, yeah.
But yeah, definitely go. And just great sides, great potato salad, great all of it. Just good. If you're looking for barbecue, you need to go to Rodney Scott's while in Charleston. Okay. Where else? Oh, got to mention. There's a place called Carmela's Cafe, and it's like a dessert bar. They also have location now in Greenville. There's not a lot of cities that have like a dessert bar. And that happens sometimes where you're like, I just kind of want dessert somewhere, but you don't want to go take up a table.
Yeah.
In a restaurant.
But I haven't been to this place.
Yeah,
so maybe
but
I
you
wanna
literally
go
just you just want to go to have a dessert.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And this is your place. So Carmela's is wonderful.
And I wanted to mention that Doer Brothers, or I think that's how you say it, Doer Brothers, where we went for bread pudding.
Oh, yeah. The bread pudding. Find bread pudding in Charleston, but especially find it at this place.
They also had creative cocktails.
Yes.
And that would be a fun place to go just for a drink or dessert or both.
So good. One of my favorite areas to visit is Folly Beach. So I'll mention that I love the Lost Dog Cafe out there for lunch or especially breakfast. I think they do breakfast very well. John's Island has Wild Olive. It's been around for 15 years. It's the same hospitality group as Obstinate Daughter that I mentioned earlier on Sullivan's Island. So if you like Obstinate Daughter, you will very likely like Wild Olive. Just very interesting Italian dishes. And I think that might be all of my food recommendations, probably for now.
I think that covered it
pretty
well.
But like you mentioned, just even if you're just out, there's some certain foods that you need to just try, like even at the city market, right? Like Benet wafers.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to mention that when we get to Benet wafers, but you're going to want to try things that are regionally popular.
Yeah.
I mentioned crab rice or okra soup, she crab soup, shrimp and grits or fish and grits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Low country.
Yeah. You want to try some of
we
those.
We did a low country cooking food. Episode,
oh,
actually.
I have. Let me just tell you, Laura Beth, that for links that need to be in this episode, I have low country boil, low country cooking, salt marshes, Spanish moss and kudzu, Negro spirituals, loggerhead sea turtles, Gullah Geechee, live oaks and resurrection ferns.
We've covered a lot. Oh my goodness. So this is a great 250th.
I know.
Because it's just pointing back to all the others. That's awesome.
Isn't that fun? I'm so proud of us.
There's a really fun tradition that you will see around town. It's the sweetgrass tradition. And this was also covered a lot in our Gullah Geechee episode. But in case you don't go listen, when you visit Charleston, you're going to see these sweetgrass baskets being woven on street corners or in shops in the city market. And, I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like. It
they
is
take
like
this-
a kind of stiffer grass that they're weaving and making into larger baskets or little bowls or...
And it's truly an art form.
Yeah.
This is really tightly woven. When Lynette White was talking to us about this, I literally said, would this have been kind of like what they put Moses in when he was sent down the river? And she said, it's exactly what it was.
It's so crazy.
Because I've always wondered, like, how did that float and how did water not get in? How did water not drown?
Yeah. And right. Sweet grass. Yeah.
She says that's what this was. So.
Yeah. So if you want a nice souvenir to take home, because like you said, it's kind of
it's an art form.
Like a smaller basket could be $250.
Yeah.
Just as a reference point. But you will see this a lot at the city market. And, you know, I love actually getting to see people
do
make
it.
Them.
Yeah.
So I hope that if you visit and you are seeing sweetgrass, anything's for sale, that somebody is right there weaving them.
I can't help but laugh thinking about college and when you are signing up for classes and somebody says they're going to take basket weaving. Like, you know how people always make fun of that? I'm going to do basket. Yeah, I'm going to take basket weaving.
Elective choices.
Hey, that's quite a gift. So
that's very true.
Well, there's so much to see in this town. And one of the epic photo spots is the pineapple fountain at Waterfront Park.
Yes, I love the pineapple fountain. And it's right downtown. Very popular spot. So just know, like, it
either get there at the break of dawn and you can get a picture alone,
right?
Or just hope for the best.
Exactly.
I don't know what to tell you.
We got really lucky, honestly.
We had a strange thing happen one time.
It was like the party of the Red Sea.
People cleared out.
Yeah.
And we got a great pic. But I didn't know it was called the Riley Waterfront Park. I've always just called it Waterfront Park. But anyhow, that's officially the name. It's a 10-acre park that overlooks the Charleston Harbor and the Cooper River. And there's just so much beauty in that mm-hmm. little park to have a picnic or just get your pineapple mm-hmm. fountain photo. Mm-hmm.
And pineapple being the symbol of Southern hospitality. So right there as well is Rainbow Row, the famous pastel painted homes along East Bay Street. That's a great little area to see as well.
And a very photographed spot as well. It's hard to get a picture without a lot of cars in it, but you just buy a true photographer's shot of it or something.
That's
while
true.
You're there. And also the Battery is right down there, which is it's a landmark defensive seawall and promenade in Charleston, and it's kind of known for its famous stately antebellum homes.
And boy, are there.
And there are lots of those in Charleston.
If you're able, I just love to just walk.
Yeah.
Down there. Just the little cobblestone alleyways and the gas lanterns that, kind of stay going, seems like, all day long.
Boxes that are so lush and just...
So, that have their own irrigation systems that are keeping them alive. The gardens. It's interesting because, you're on the sidewalk, but you are right up against a home in many instances. There is no yard in between you and the front door of the home. Kind of like a downtown metropolitan area, right?
Yeah. So I had a friend who lived south abroad.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
And she said it was awkward sometimes because groups would be walking and they're so close that she's like, if you were in the kitchen in your pajamas, they would see that.
Right.
If the windows were.
Yeah.
Unless the shutters were closed or something.
Yeah.
So...
And oftentimes, it's the architectural style of the, what's it called? The single house style.
Yeah.
So it might not be every, don't picture multiple rooms on all homes. Sometimes there are. But sometimes it's just like that front dining room, for instance.
That's showing.
Because the way the house is built, it's deep. So there's only one room wide facing the street. But then, you've got a whole piazza along the side and long wraparound porches and
the wind can come through while you're having your bourbon on the porch.
That's
or
right.
Whatever.
That's right.
Great way to see some of this is one of those carriage tours.
Yes.
Those are so much fun, and they go at a pace where you can hear a little history but take photos as you go.
Yeah. walking tour, carriage tour, do something with a local walking you around the city.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter what sort of path you get or what neighborhood you cover. Charleston is so interesting and has so much great history that you're going to hear what you need to hear. I promise you.
Well, it's funny that you just said that because I actually had down, there's walking tours, there's culinary tours, there's photography tours, there's boat tours. Like, there's no shortage of ways to see Charleston.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's really fun if you're doing it at a pace that's slow enough to take pictures.
That's true. I think we took you on a culinary tour at the top of this episode.
Oh, no.
We had an awesome experience crabbing when we were in Charleston.
Yes.
I want to touch on that just real quick because sometimes people just want an experience, right? You might not have a boat to take out on the water while you're there. Well, here's a really cool coastal-like experience. You can go crabbing with Tia Clark. I'll put a link in the show notes on how you can get a reservation with one of her excursions. But she takes up to about 12 people to catch crabs right from a dock in the downtown area. So we were staying at a Marriott property, and it was just really right up the road from us. But we learned how to catch crabs with nets, with hooks, with live, you know,
baskets.
Yeah. They have all the bait ready for you, so you feel like you're really doing a lot of hard work that day, but really you're not. So fun. We caught 18 crabs when we went, and we even had the opportunity to ask them to clean them for us, and then we ate them for dinner.
Which was also so epic, because it was just kind of that picture, you know, we really should do this with every meal, but a real picture of the food coming from the earth.
The source, yeah. Like,
you know,
living
and
amongst
God's provision, that he has provided these creatures that we got to catch and eat.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful I didn't have to do the cleaning.
Right. Yeah, me too.
I could certainly learn to do it with a fish, but I don't really want to learn to do it with any other meats. But anyway, yeah, that was so much fun. And the meal was delicious.
So good. So good.
They were blue crabs.
But then again, you know, you do realize how hard food resourcing is when you have to do it yourself, because there was very little crab meat that came out of each crab.
It
I was like, we need
18 of them to feed four of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Yeah. So crazy. New appreciations all the time
for farming and hunting and all of it.
Yeah. Also downtown, you will hear many, many people mention the city market. We touched on that earlier. Go there, buy you some Marsh Hen Mill, Carolina Gold rice, or stone ground grits.
Yeah.
Spices, again, red beans.
All the southern hospitality you can imagine. Mm-hmm. The Benet wafers I mentioned, I bought some of those to bring back for people. That's kind of a sesame. Sweet cracker, I'm going to call it.
I would call it a cracker more than a wafer, because wafers to me already feel sugary, like a vanilla wafer. It's not sweet like that.
It's not that sweet.
Yeah.
Anyway, very, very unique and delicious. But they pretty much have any gift you can imagine. Stuff for kids, postcards, tea towels, books, all of the things.
Yeah. It's all covered, but some of it's indoor, some of it's outdoor.
Some of it's air conditioned, some of it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and boy, if you're there during the summer, you quickly recognize what parts aren't air conditioned.
That's so true.
Charleston can get so
crazy hot,
so humid, so hot. So,
well, that's even a good thing to mention. I hadn't thought of that, but sometimes it's nice to plan a few indoor things in the midst of your day, be that museums or a plantation home where you're going inside an air-conditioned home. Wouldn't have been air-conditioned at that time, but in fact, let me just go there with touring a plantation.
Yeah.
There's many, many to see in Charleston. I put three in my notes.
Yep.
I have only toured one of them. I toured Middleton Place. It's
okay.
National Historic Landmark. It's the site of the oldest landscaped gardens in America.
How cool.
It was a plantation owned by the Middleton family, and now it's a museum dedicated to those who lived and worked on the plantation. So, yeah, it's they do tell the story of the Middleton family and the enslaved people.
Right.
I think most of them do that now.
I would think so.
One of the plantations is called Boone Hall Plantation and Gardens, and I had asked Lynette White, which one she thought was the best in telling the enslaved people story. And she thought Boone did the best job of that. But anyhow, and also Magnolia Plantation and Gardens was the third one I was going to recommend.
Yeah.
It appeals a lot to people who like kind of the more not as landscaped gardens. If you like kind of the more lush, wilder looking gardens, that might be the one to see. And they even have an area, an Audubon swamp garden, where you can see gators, herons, turtles. I think I would like to see that one next time. But
that's good. Yeah.
I mean, a big part of the culture
for
from
sure.
times of old. So
for sure.
Pick one of those and tour it.
Also, if you want to get wowed, you got to go out to John's Island to see the Angel Oak.
We
did a whole episode, as you mentioned, on Southern oak trees and Southern live oaks. And so the Angel Oak is 400 years old, stands 65 feet high, shades an area of 17,000 square feet.
It's unbelievable.
It's open 7 days a week. You can give them a little donation while you're there visiting. There is no climbing. Isn't that sad?
I know, but I get it.
So right.
But it is hard because these branches just reach out so low, almost some of them all right on the ground, just crying out to be
climbed. Come sit with me.
But you can't.
It is impossible unless you've got some sort of unique lens to get a wide enough picture.
To really do it
to include it all.
It's a stunner, for sure.
It's so impressive. It's definitely, you know, off the beaten path. So you'll have to be intentionally going out to John's Island to see the Angel Oak. But it is so, so worth it.
Yeah, the only other thing I was going to mention that's out that direction is that Charleston Tea Garden.
Yep.
It's, what would you say about it, Laura Beth?
Well, it's the only tea that's grown exclusively in America. Their classic American tea is. And I just thought that was interesting because, I don't know, I don't think much about the way they grow tea, but it's the only tea grown exclusively in America. And then they outsource to other tea manufacturers. I think they mentioned they do stuff for Bigelow.
That's right, they did.
Maybe someone else as well. There's an awesome gift shop. It's, you know, for a tea lover, I'm sure it's great. And for a slower paced tour.
For sure.
It's great. It's, you know, it's a little
slow paced.
Slow. So our,
we were on a trolley a good bit of the time, weren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, to see the property and that kind of thing. And then you get to taste some of the teas.
Yeah.
They had a peach tea that was so delicious and seemed so Southern to me.
So Southern.
And you could do it hot or cold.
I bought a lot of souvenirs, actually, at this gift shop. So that's a really good stop, too. And then we got to mention the
Patriots Point.
Thank you.
Yes, that was super cool.
So we did a tour, a self-guided tour of this. And I think our takeaway was next
you need
time,
an actual audio tour or something. Because a lot of times we didn't know what we were looking at.
Yeah. That's so this is Patriot Point Maritime and Naval Museum. So it's just across the bridge from downtown Charleston. It's huge.
Yeah.
So you need some time over there.
If you're a military buff, you'll love this. Or even we were thinking some of the young kids that, you know, have seen Top Gun or something like that.
Oh,
would
yeah.
love it as well.
Yeah.
There's the USS Yorktown aircraft carrier. And there's also a destroyer that was used in Normandy in World War II and the Korean War. You even went inside this replica of the Apollo 8. Do you
remember that? Oh, I forgot.
That?
I did go in that.
The capsule that put man on the moon for the first time.
That's right.
Yeah,
I forgot
lots
about
to
that.
See out there.
Yeah. What else would I say about Charleston? Oh, my goodness. I had so many notes, but now I've scribbled through a bunch.
I know. It's hard to keep up, isn't it?
I mean, just go. Like, if you want any sense of great Southern culture, just go make your own experience there. Just close your eyes and point, I feel
right,
like, and
I
you
know.
Will not be disappointed.
There's an aquarium. There's an art museum. Lots of things you can do. There's if you like to walk, there's an 8-lane suspension bridge, that Arthur Ravenel Jr. Bridge that goes from Charleston to Mount Pleasant. It's, you can walk it. It's 2.5 miles long.
That's awesome.
And bike it or walk it. It's a 12-foot path, so you're nice and safe and
yeah,
you know, distance, and that could be a fun thing to do. And there's beaches. We haven't even spent much time talking about beaches.
We really haven't. But there's so many beaches, and they're all just so family friendly.
Yeah.
Some are private and exclusive, and you'd have to be like a resident of that area to get to. But plenty of public beaches. Lots of people go to Sullivan's Island, Folly Beach.
There's different feels. I feel like Folly Beach is kind of the more young, hippie kind of.
That's where I started out going to.
Beach. And then Isle of Palms, me, is a little more like families and a little fancier, chicer kind of look.
Yeah. So. A lot more surfing out at Folly. But yeah, that whole vibe that goes with surfer culture.
Yeah. But we've talked about this before. This is like the perfect city for people who have different interests. So like the guys could go fishing, the girls could go shopping. I know that's stereotypical. I like fishing.
We did crabbing.
We did crabbing. But I'm just saying, like, if there's somebody who wants to lay on the beach for the whole time, then I still have museums and history that I can go explore.
And that is very unique.
It is unique.
To there's say, so much hey, to see. I want to relax, but you want to sightsee. You want to go to Charleston? Because we're both going to have a great time. So I would just say go. And if you want to know what we've been talking about for the last 250 episodes, most of it's in Charleston, South Carolina.
They have all of it. Pretty much.
So this has been really fun. It's been a really fun time to commemorate many topics all in one city. And yeah, look forward
to. And Southwest will fly you there pretty quickly. And well, depends on where you're flying from. From Nashville, it's super fast and easy.
One way. Yeah, it's a great small airport. So go visit Charleston. We'll be back here next time with more Southern culture. Till then.
Cheers to 250 episodes.
Whoop, whoop. Peace be with y'all. You've just listened to an episode of the Steel Magnolias Podcast, an independent show funded solely on support from listeners like you and a few advertisers from time to time. For reminders of what we just said and links to what we just mentioned, take a look at the description of this episode. They are right there. Are you enjoying the show? We hope you'll text a friend or loved one to tell them about this podcast. And make sure they know how to get to a podcast first. We invite you to join our mailing list to be the first to know about episodes, giveaways, and events. Sign up at steelmagnoliaspodcast.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.